personal life outside of my spiritual experience is my secular profession. I see the world very much in terms of conflicts, different types of conflicts. It's because that's what I do. I resolve conflicts among people in many ways, every day, in my job. And so I tend to see a lot of the spiritual issues in terms of conflicts. And so today I want to talk to you about two conflicts. I think the Bible speaks about really just two types of conflicts. And I think you, to some extent, I think we're all familiar with these conflicts, but I would like to say that we're more familiar with one as opposed to the other. So go with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, where we're going to see one of those conflicts. And in their nature, they're very similar, these conflicts, but one is a lot more dangerous than the other. So in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, light that you think is dark, but there is a relationship between the two, and maybe one can say, well, maybe Satan knows about our internal conflict, so what he's doing is he's deceiving us about us being deceived. Okay? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I spent a lot of time thinking about these verses, and every time they just hit me really hard. What is the problem with deceit? See, in my secular work, I resolve conflicts, and sometimes the conflicts are, I'm still believing it or not, they're deceit. In the law, deceit is actually called fraud. Deceit, I don't know the English word for fraud, but fraud. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, it's a conflict, and it's a conflict within us. I would like to ask you a question. Are we qualified to resolve this conflict, this internal conflict that's in us? You know, in the law, there's this idea that someone has a conflict of interest. They're not entitled to make an evaluation. They're not entitled to render a judgment. Decision, evaluate, make a judgment, risk. exaggerated sense of responsibility for the actions of others. I mean, just think about it for a moment. We're looking at the outside and we're saying, this is how we need to resolve things. I need to take responsibility for what other people have decided to do in their lives. Why would I want to do that? Is that really about them or is it really about me? Which conflict are we talking about, an outwardly conflict, or are we talking about an inwardly conflict? And I'd like to propose to you that the person who has that exaggerated sense of responsibility for the actions of others is the one who has that responsibility because they have a problem. They need to feel better about control. I'm just going to leave it at that because there's a few other ones here. A tendency to do more than your share all of the time. Some people think that the whole world is on their shoulders. I mean, when I started realizing these issues, I started thinking, well, you know, my dad has a problem, my mom has a problem. I'm really upset at them about certain things in my life. Oh, wait a minute. This is not about them. I cannot change them. It's not up to me to do that. Then why do I have this exaggerated sense of responsibility for their actions? Why do I feel that I need to do more than my really fair share of things all the time? Because it's really about me, and it's about the conflict that's brewing within. And that's why God says, the heart is deceitful above all things. You know, some people go through life, and at the very end, they get to the point of realizing, wow, I've always thought that the problem was with the other person. I've always thought that, okay, now I'm going to resolve the problem is appearing to be outwardly problem. I'm going to resolve it in the way I resolve conflicts. I'm going to take more than my fair share to do. I'm going to be responsible more for other people. And then they get to the end of their life realizing, wow, the problem is actually with me. Now, we talked about the sanctuary. Any of you remember talking about the sanctuary? Not all of you maybe were here, but we talked about the sanctuary. So we talked about now, so far we've talked about two different problems. I just want you to get the big picture of where these issues appear practically in our lives. What Jesus did on the cross is resolving the first problem of the first conflict, the conflict Satan deceiving us, right? Satan was kicked out of heaven. He was exposed for the deceiver he is. Which conflict is being resolved after we go to the cross, after we go through the altar of sacrifice, after we go through the courtyard where the Lamb of God was sacrificed? Which conflict is being resolved when we walk into the holy place? Oh, there is so many. Yes, it's the eternal conflict. It's that second type of a conflict. It's a much deeper conflict. Okay? It's that darkness that's in us that we think it's actually light. Okay? So I just want you to know where we are. Because the sanctuary is giving us a complete structure of the resolution of the sin problem. And it's not just resolving the sin problem on a corporal level, but it's resolving the sin problem here, right here in us. And notice that the work that's being done to resolve the conflict within us, the conflict that we are not qualified to resolve because we are conflicted out, we have a conflict of interest, we're biased, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations, wherever you went. Now, I'm reading these few verses ahead because I want you to get the context of what God is saying here. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Now notice verse 25 and 26. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Tremendous verses. Some people may think that, you know, reading those verses, that they should be in the New Testament because that's how God spoke.
Thank you.
deceived me, and by it, talking about sin, or actually talking about the commandment, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, and by it, kill me. Why? Because the law demands. The law demands justice. God is not going to give up his justice just so he can practice his love. Okay? And actually, his justice is part of his love. And then notice verse 15. He's now describing what this internal conflict looks like. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. What I hate, thank you. sometimes the Lord makes his path to the soul by a process that is painful. Is that true? I would say almost always. The work of purifying is a great work and will always cause men suffering and trial. I don't like that word always, but it's true. It will always cause us suffering and trial. Do you remember Paul? Do you remember Jacob? They both had a thorn in the flesh. You know, initially Jacob, who had been deceived within, and you see how our internal deceptions in life, they actually bring more deceptions, because then we move out and we start deceiving other people, because we are ourselves deceived, so we got to share, right? We got to share with other people. Notice the life of Jacob. He thought, I'm going to help out God. He walked into the tent, and his dad said, who's there? He said, Esau. It's Esau. Right? He thought, my pagan brother, he's never going to get the inheritance. Why? Because he doesn't care about God. But I'm going to get the inheritance, and guess what?
Said, your name shall no longer